It was Moses who first recorded the very first verses about teaching the scriptures. Teach me your ways, O Lord, that I may know you. Teach me your ways, O Lord, that I may know you. Reading from Wisdom Literature this morning is our worship leader, Sally. She'll be reading Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, and she'll be reading several times throughout the sermon. Thank you, Sally. Thank you.
The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right, just, and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck.
Amen. Thank you. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction. And wow, that's heavy. Sorry. I was just trying to learn a little bit. And listen to your mother's teaching. Amen? Are the children saying amen? I don't know. God is our very first teacher. But God chooses to start teaching us through our parents, through our grandparents, toward those that have been entrusted to raise up a child. God teaches us through people in his church. God teaches us through preschool, through babysitters, all the way through doctoral studies and beyond. But before a parent, a teacher, or a leader can teach, they too must first be taught. Amen? Amen. We are all foremost students. We are students. From the time we are born till the time we take our last breath, we are students. May God, our very first teacher, always fan into flame our teachable spirits. Our teachable spirits. Years ago, I finally finished my graduate studies at Cedarville. Ended up majoring in Christian Ed and Youth, and they taught me these simple words. And I know they're so elementary, and every teacher learns them immediately when you're teaching. But to me, they were new. They were powerful. I have loved them. I have practiced them. And I want to teach them to you today. They are actually in your bulletin, and they are the subtitle of the sermon. And there's four little sentences, or maybe eight little sentences, but just little things. And these are the words, I do, you watch. I do, you help. You do, I help. And you do, I watch. Could we say these four things together? Could we try to do it? Okay. I do, you watch. I do, you help. You do, I help. You do, I watch. Don't you love that? Oh my goodness. We're going to begin this morning with I do and you watch. Here this morning as Sally reads from Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9.
Oh my gosh. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on your door frames of your houses and on your gates.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. I do, and you watch. God does, and we watch. Jesus does, and we watch. Our parents do, and we watch. Our teachers do, and we watch. In Jewish homes, I love one of their rich traditions. When you enter a Jewish home, you will find a mezuzah on their door frame. And underneath this mezuzah are little rolls of scripture. And it's not uncommon to walk through a Jewish home and kiss your fingers and kiss the mezuzah and thank God for the scriptures that command you to teach your children to love the Lord with all their heart, with all their mind, with all their souls. It's called a mezuzah. Don't ask me to spell it, but it's called a mezuzah. Parents, your first job is to first teach by parenting. Okay? I have a confession to make. Frank, don't get mad. Okay? We were married 5 years before we started our family, and Jonathan, we prayed for redheaded triplets. We didn't get that. We got Jonathan. That's all I'm going to say. We might as well have got redheaded triplets. We were starting late in life, so I wanted to get on the ball and get it going. But anyway, so, you know, he's like Dennis the Menace. He's into everything. And it took us 2 years to realize that Frank was waiting on me to parent like his mother did. And I was certainly waiting on you to parent like Tim Timberlake did. Frank's family had 7 children. He had 6 sisters, and his father worked a lot. And his mother was the disciplinarian, and she let you know when you did something wrong. My mother, although she was a stay-at-home mom, she said, "You wait till your daddy gets home." And if you got in trouble early in the morning, by the time daddy got home, you didn't even remember what you did. But you got a whooping. And so he was waiting on me to be like his mother, and I was waiting on him to be like my father. And neither one of us was disciplining our child. Not really. Very passive. They say, when I asked somebody about it, they said, "You know what? You're 2 years too late. You got to start early with them." And we just didn't. And then we learned, didn't we, Frank, to make up for lost times. Parents, your first job is to teach by parenting. I remember when Frank and I had a three-church charge, and we drug Jonathan to all 3 churches, and by the time we were at the 3rd church, that child was a heathen. I mean, bless his heart. And somebody pulled us aside and said, "You know what? You and Frank need to start thinking like parents and not pastors. No little kid should be drugged to 3 churches every Sunday morning." And we made a decision. He stayed in the first church all morning. We just let him go. And but our first jobs as parents is to be a parent. This is not a teacher's job. A teacher's job is not to be your child's parent. That's your job, or the person that's raising this child. I remember there is a book. How many of you raised your kid on Dr. James Dobson? Any of you? Yeah, that was our Bible. And How to Shape the Will Without Breaking the Spirit. Those pages got worn a lot. Our son often teases me and he says, "Mother, I am now in higher education." And I say to him, "Son, I have been in higher education before you were born." I'm in higher education as well. But he loves to tease me. In Matthew 10, 24 through 25a, we read these simple, beautiful words. "The student is not above the teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for students to be like their teachers and servants to be like their masters." Isn't that beautiful? Just a few words there. Let me find my thing. If the Lord God is truly our teacher, may we have the desire to be like him, to be like him, not better than him, not acting like we know more. Believe you me, it's challenging enough just to try to be like God Almighty in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. I do and you help. I do and you help. Hear this excellent example of scriptures this morning, and it's from a father-in-law. It's Moses' father-in-law. Imagine listening to your father-in-law. Exodus 18, 17 through 23. God bless you as you come. Listen carefully, it's powerful.
Moses' father-in-law replied, "What you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. Teach them his decrees and instructions, and show them the way they are to live and how they are to behave. Select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you. The simple cases they can decide themselves. That will make your load lighter, because they will share it with you. If you do this, and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain, and all these people will go home satisfied."
Wow. Amen. Thank you. Oh, my goodness sakes. Don't panic. Did I lose my batteries too? No. Okay, good. Good. Thank you. Sorry. Now, let's be honest, church. How many of you have had wise in-laws who have given you wise counsel? How many of you have had that? Raise your hand. Okay. How many of you have listened? Okay, there we go. Frank and I never had in-laws, did we, honey? We didn't have that. So that was probably our problem. We didn't have that. I do, and you help. Parents, teachers, and leaders, learn to share the joy. Learn to share the joy in allowing others the opportunity to learn by doing. How many of you can finish this old commercial? It's shake and bake. And I helped. There's nothing greater than being asked to help and being invited to participate. So we've talked about I do and you watch. I do and you help. You do and I help. That's getting a little scary, isn't it? You do, and I help. I remember decades ago, I went to some big city in Michigan. I don't know which one. It was the 200th anniversary of the Sunday school movement. And the theme, I was trying to remember if it was a world to reach by what we teach or a world to reach by how we teach. And I couldn't remember if it was which one or both. But the important thing is a world to reach by who we teach. A world to reach by why we teach. Amen? Amen. We do not teach alone. Parents, teachers, we do not teach alone. God reminds us, you do, and I help you. You do. You're parenting your children. You're teaching your students. You're doing this. You're doing that. You do, and God's Holy Spirit helps us. Amen? Amen. Boy, I say amen a lot, don't I? I don't know. I tell you, I don't know. Anyway, okay. You do and I watch. That means you do it all by yourself. You do and I watch. Sometimes we feel like the Lord has left us, but he is not. The Lord is still with us. The Lord is watching us. He's watching you with love and pride and encouragement. When Jesus gave the Great Commission to the disciples, he shared these powerful words. Please listen to them today. I know you know them by heart. I know you can recite them by heart, but hear them today. God bless you as you come, Sally.
The Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. These are the words of the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sally. Here in this pericope, we see God's provision. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. The plan, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching to them everything I have commanded you, the promise, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Isn't it wonderful that a God will send us out and he reminds us that he has the authority to see whatever we put our hands and our minds and our hearts do to accomplish? That he promises he will be with us to the very end of the age. What a powerful provision, a plan, and a promise. Talk about you do and I watch. There was a little boy named Teddy. Teddy was in fifth grade. He was in Miss Thompson's class, just a terrible student. And for some reason, whenever she would grade Teddy's paper, she would put a great big F in red, so big you could see it like three people away from him in another chair. She was supposed to have an interview with Teddy. And when she did that, she would find out that in first grade and second grade, Teddy was bright and bouncy and beautiful. In third grade, his mother became ill. In fourth grade, he was devastated by his death, very withdrawn, very sad, started getting into trouble at school. Christmas came that year. All the children in the class bought Miss Thompson a gift. But one person brought a gift that wasn't beautifully wrapped. It was in a simple brown paper bag. And all the students laughed. They thought it was just so funny. And the teacher calmed them down. And out of that little paper bag fell a bracelet that was missing half of the rhinestones. And she put it on her wrist and everyone ooh and ah. And then out fell this little bottle of perfume that was almost all gone. And she put it behind her ears and on her wrist, and she had the children smell, and everyone went, ooh. Everyone left that day for Christmas break, but little Teddy stayed behind. Teddy approached Miss Thompson's desk and said, "Miss Thompson, you smell just like my mom." When Teddy left that day, Miss Thompson stopped doing whatever in the world she had been doing before that moment. And she committed her life to Christ, said, "I will teach children, especially the Teddy Stallards that are difficult, that are heartbroken. I will be an agent of yours to teach people just like Teddy Stallard." So Teddy ends his school year with Miss Thompson, says, "You're the best teacher I've ever had." He's doing better. Years go by. "Dear Miss Thompson, I'm graduating third in my high school class, but I want you to know you're still the best teacher I ever had." 4 years go by, and he says, "Dear Miss Thompson, I just graduated from college. Do you believe it? You're still my favorite teacher." 4 years go by. Miss Thompson, as of today, "I am Theodore Stallard, MD. I want to thank you for teaching me, for encouraging me, for believing in me." A few more years go by, and one day Miss Thompson gets a letter saying, "Mrs. Thompson, I have found the woman of my dreams, and we're getting married, and I don't have a mother. My father passed away a few years ago. Would you please come and sit where my mother would have sat? She was my first teacher. Miss Thompson, you were my best teacher." Miss Thompson went, and she sat there with pride. She was just so pleased at how Teddy's life had turned out. And during the receiving line, everyone's walking by, and Teddy says to her, "Mrs. Thompson, you know you're the best teacher I ever had." And she said, "Teddy, you don't know this, but you taught me more than any other student ever taught me. You changed me, and I want to thank you for that. I love that story so much. Friends, you can only teach what you know, right? You can't teach what you don't know, right? Okay, so if I would start a class, and let's say I'm going to start a cooking class. Okay, I'm going to start a cooking class. I would quickly have no students because I'm not a very good cook. But I could start a baking class, couldn't I? I can bake an iron, that's about it. But you can only teach what you know, and you can't teach what you don't. Friends, I want you to celebrate what you've already learned in your life. You've learned so many awesome things. I want you to hunger to learn even more. I keep saying when I retire, I'm going to learn to make those prayer shawls. When I retire, I'm going to do this. I don't know if my fingers will still be good enough without arthritis to do it, but that's my plan. You can never learn anything if you think you know it all, can you? Nope, you can't. We are never too old to learn. What is it that you would like to learn? Anyone here want to learn how to sew with a box, a sewing box? Wouldn't that be great? I'd love to do that. Humble yourself and ask someone, would you teach me how to sew? Would you teach me how to change my aura? Would you teach me how to raise these kids? People, would you help me? Would you teach me? May we never be too proud to think that there is nothing we still have yet to learn. You can't teach what you don't know. Is what you know, is what you have learned, is it from God? And don't you want to share this? Don't you want to share this? Do you remember when you're a kid and you learned what's it called? Jump rope. And there's like two jump ropes. And you have to like go like this, and then you have to go like this. You have to turn around. And you learned how to do it. And then you wanted your sister to do it. And you wanted your mother to do it. You wanted your father to do it. Nobody wanted to learn it. But it was so fun. Everything we learn, we want to teach someone else. Everything we learn, we want to share with someone else. My dad used to share this quote, which was interesting because my dad never fished as long as I knew him. He may have fished as a child, but in my being raised by Tim Timberlake, I never saw him with a fishing pole ever. But one day he says, Kimmy, if you give a man a fish, you only feed him for one meal. But if you teach him how to fish, Kimmy, you feed him for a lifetime. I don't know where that came from or why, but I never forgot those words. What do you know that you can teach others? Remember these four things. Okay, I'm going to say it first, then you're going to say it with me. And then we want to get the kids up here for prayer. The kids, they're back in the kinder room. So can someone grab the kinder class? Okay, here's what we're going to say together. I do, you watch. I do, you help. You do, I help. You do, I watch. Now, who can say that all by themselves? Come on, I know you can. Okay, Roger, did you raise your hand? Yeah, I just want to see if anyone knows it by heart. Okay, but isn't that awesome? I mean, how fundamental is this? Like osmosis and diffusion and pre-nursing. It's just something so fundamental that I love. Right now, the children are going to come forward. I want to have a special prayer with the kiddos here. And look for my pages here. Now, I know the children that are here today. And I know we also have a Breland. We have a Breland in our church. We have an Olivia, who's what, a junior in high school. Melody's her first year seminary. She's a junior there. Any other children I might not know to mention in our prayer? Okay, go ahead. Say them loud because I don't know.
Gabriella.
Pardon me?
Gabriella.
Gabrielle. Okay. Gabriella. I've not met her yet. Is she Breland's sister?
Yes.
Okay, I've not met Gabriella yet. How old is she? Okay. I didn't know that. Okay. Who else did I miss? Okay. Oh, yeah, the 5-year-old with Todd. right? Okay, okay, okay. He's 9 now? Okay, okay, well, okay, I thought he was 5. Okay, he can grow up. Okay, okay, Levi. Okay, anyone else? Because I just don't know all the children yet. Okay, go ahead. What? Dalton? How old is Dalton? 9. I got to meet this kid too. Okay. Maybe we can have a pizza with the pastor party or something, you know. Okay. Okay, well, you, the 5 that are here now, would you come forward? Just come forward. Okay. And as we pray for you this morning, if there's a special way that we can pray for you, would you step up here and tell us how we could pray for you? Like if there's a class that's really hard or anything. It could be anything. Do you guys have anything you want to share? So everybody's good. All the classes are easy. No difficult children in school. No hard teachers, right? Excellent lunches. Okay, okay. Well, that's great to hear. Let's pray. Let's pray. I thought you might want to share something, but I want you to know there was a teacher, and don't ask me who she is, but she gave all of her students a piece of paper. It said, what did it say? I wish my teacher knew this. I wish my teacher knew this. And slowly through the year, they would gradually share some of their hurts, habits, or hang-ups, or heartaches. And I want you to know, church, I would love to know, I wish my pastor knew this, because that's how I get to know you better. So we're going to pray for these youngins here. Okay, let's pray together. Lord, we love you today. And it's like we have stair steps of little girls here today. We thank you for Katie, our 13-year-old. Lord, we thank you for Grace, the same age. We thank you for Lainey and her friend Kaylee. Lord, we thank you for little Nicole. Lord, we also thank you for Breland, who has an activity today. We thank you for Olivia and Gabriella in high school. We thank you for Levi and Dalton. Lord, we especially pray for Melody in her first year of seminary. Lord, we pray that you would bless these children. Lord, I pray that you would protect them, that all that they need you would provide. Lord, most of all, I pray that you would give them teachable spirits and a heart that knows the joy of sharing what they've learned with others. Lord, bless them, we pray. Build a hedge of protection. God, show off in their lives this year, we pray. Lord, we pray especially for teachers and administrators, for staff and bus drivers and everyone, with it being so different this year. They didn't learn how to teach during a pandemic. So, Lord, we pray for extra grace, for extra instruction, for extra patience as they reach this generation. For you, we pray. And all God's people said together, amen. Thank you, girls. Thank you.